I'm just gonna shit. Okay. Recording's in progress. All right. Great. Okay, so I want to discuss I would say two kind of different topics. I'll try to, I guess, connect them to give a little bit of a nice idea going into Rosh Hashanah. And that's the whole goal. That's the plan. So we're going to start with the following. It's a question I've had on the Rambam for the last few years. This is the first time I found an answer to it. So that's where we're going to start. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar. In Parak Beis, I apologize. I didn't have time to type up Mekoros and Shabbos. I didn't really have time for anything. So I'm not going to read most things, but I'm going to read one or two things. So I'm going to read the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, Parak Beis, Halacha Yod, writes the following. Bizman hazeh shanu osin shnei yamin bagalos. Nowadays that we do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Galus, Kedarech Shatokin Berishon Tokin B'Sheni. Just like we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on the first day, so too we blow the shofar on the second day. And a question that's always bothered me, and that I was like, Halim, don't talk it out. It's a very, very strange language. Bizman hazeh nowadays, Shanu Osten Shnei Yamim, that we do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah B'Galus, in Galus. Kederach Shatokin Berishon Tokin B'Sheni. Can anyone pick up on the question? Yeah, well, what's Begalus? Right? It's Bizman Hazeh Shanu Osin Shnei Yamim, period. Whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, whether you live in Chutz La'aretz, no matter where you live, it's always going to be 2 days. So it's a very strange, just a very strange idea to think that it's only considered, it's only in Galus. It doesn't really make sense. So what's the Rambam trying to tell us? That again, Bizman Hazeh, that we do 2 days in Galus, in the, what we would translate as the exile, just like you blow the shofar on the first day, so do the second day. So I finally looked in the back of the Frankels, in the Frankel editions, they have in the Mafteach there, they quote from Rav Bezalel Zsolti. He was the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Yerushalayim, I think, for the latter half of his life. We have his Sefer Mishnas Yabetz over there. In the shul, he wrote a few svarim. He's one of the big dolim in Eretz Yisrael in the 20th century. So they quote in the Mafteach here, they quote from an article in a publication called Moriah. Whenever they quote those, it never helps me because how am I supposed to find that? Now, it happened to be this year, I went on to Otzar HaChachma, for those who know what that is, and I tapped it in, I was able to find it. So I was able to read his answer. So his answer is the following. Again, the question is why the Rambam, what's he trying to tell us? Nowadays, that we keep 2 days in Galus, that we blow the shofar on the second, like the first. Galus, we also went Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference?
Can't we say that he holds like the Onim?
That
the Rosh Hashanah was one day.
No, no. Because Lechor, he doesn't. From other places, he doesn't. It's clear. Yeah. The Rambam Hilchos Yontif in Aleph Chaf Dalet clearly says that, and we spoke in a little bit of Shir today. The Rambam very clearly holds, at least there's Kedusha to both days. With the various nafkaminas we spoke at today in Erevin and in Beitz and all those things. Okay. So the way he explains it the following. So the Gemara in Beitz on Dalet Amud Beis Hayamud Aleph tells us that's the source for Rosh Hashanah being a Yuma Arechta. That's the source for the Takanas Chachamim, the decree of the rabbis to make Rosh Hashanah into 2 days. And to quickly go over the Gemara with the explanation of Rashi, the Gemara tells us that at the beginning, the way it worked, just so we have a background, for us, Rosh Hashanah, meaning Monday and Tuesday this year, is Aleph and Beis Tishrei. Right? That's what it is, Aleph Tishrei and Beis Tishrei. So the Gemara tells us, very shown in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, so we know the way the new month worked is that Edim had to come, witnesses had to come, say we saw the new moon, there was a whole procedure, Rosh Chodesh, wonderful. So that's what would happen all the time, Elul would end off, so let's say Chav Tes Elul, the 29th day of Elul would end, they would wait for Edim to come to see if that day was Rosh Chodesh. There was one time the Mishnah tells us that they waited a little too long. The Edim, the witnesses, didn't come until after the Zman Mincha, after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. And the problem was that every time the Karbanos are brought, the Levim sing Shira. The Levim sing their songs. So what happened was, in the morning and in the afternoon, the Levim, they didn't have any Edim come. They didn't know, they thought it was a regular day. So they sang the Shira of the day, the Shir Shal Yom, what we say every morning, and not the Shira that you would generally say or sing on Yontif like Rosh Hashanah. And so Niskalkalu Bashir, the Mishnah tells us, they messed up in the Shir, so they weren't sure what to do. So what they decided is the following. The Chachamim said during the time of the Beis HaMikdash that they're going to accept witnesses until that second Karban is brought, until the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, let's just call it for argument's sake, 4 o'clock, again, just for example's sake. So until 4 o'clock, they're going to accept witnesses. So what happens is the 29th day of El ends until the Mincha time. So the Chacham told everyone, act as if today's Rosh Hashanah. We don't know if it will be. If witnesses come that day, great, it's Rosh Hashanah. If witnesses come after, so what happens is the next day is really going to be Rosh Hashanah. The current day is going to now be day 30. So I apologize if that's confusing. So again, day 29 ends. So what happens is the next day, we're waiting for the witnesses to come. If they come a little too late, so the day that we're waiting is now going to turn into day 30. Tomorrow is going to be day 1, Aleph Tishrei. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, day 30 and day 1. And you're right, in Yerushalayim, there technically would only be one day, but everywhere else, they made a takana, a decree, that everywhere now is going to be 2 days because they weren't going to be able to hear the witness. Meaning, once you had a time period where it had to be done by 4 o'clock p.m., so the Chacham said, you know what, after day 29, it's always going to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. If the Edom come after a certain time period, it's going to be the next day. That's the point. Good. That was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Churban happened. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happened. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we don't need this anymore. Unfortunately, there are no Levim singing Shira. No one's going to mess up anymore. So let's go back to how it was originally done and allow the witnesses to come whenever, until not 4 o'clock, until even after 4 o'clock. However, if the witnesses come late, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so then what they're going to do is they're going to keep the 2 days of Yontif. The day after the 29th day is going to be Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei. The next day is going to be Beis Tishrei, and they don't want to mess anything up. They don't want to change what it originally was, so they want that to also be a day of Rosh Hashanah. So that was very complicated, but very simply put, according to Rashi, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was a takana to have 2 days of Yontif. The 2 days of Yom Tov were day number 30 of Elul and Aleph of Tishrei. After the Churban HaBayis, they continued having 2 days of Yom Tov, and the 2 days of Yom Tov were Aleph Tishrei and Beis Tishrei. Again, during Beis HaMikdash, it was Lamed and Aleph. After Beis HaMikdash, it was Aleph and Beis. So a very, very unique switch that happened during the time of the Beis HaMikdash is, and after the Beis HaMikdash is, what's the real day of Rosh Hashanah? Is the real day of Rosh Hashanah the first day or the second day? During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the real day was the second day, right? Aleph Tishrei. The first day was the last day of Elul. During the times of after the Churban, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, nowadays, when's the day, the real Rosh Hashanah? The first day. What? Not mine. So what comes out, so he says the following. So for example, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when did they blow shofar? So the Meiri in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, tells us that they didn't blow shofar on the first day. They blew on the second day. Because the first day was the 30th day of Elul, not the first day of Tishrei. What about nowadays after the Churban HaBayis? So after the Churban HaBayis, Rashi says, the reason why we kept the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even though it's the second day of Tishrei, is because we didn't want to be oker the takana. We didn't want to uproot the original decree. So if we didn't want to uproot the original decree, we want to keep it as it was. Originally, the decree was to blow the shofar on the second day, so therefore we blow it on the first day, the real Rosh Hashanah, and the second day, what we'll call the Midrabanan Rosh Hashanah. So that's what Rav Jalti explains, that's what the Rambam is telling us. When the Rambam says Golos, that again, the Rambam says nowadays, Bizman Hazeh, that we have 2 days of Yontif, Begolos, we blow 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So what's Begolos? So Rav Jalti explains that Golos doesn't mean Chutz La'aretz. It doesn't mean outside of Eretz Yisrael. Golos means after the Churban. Even in Eretz Yisrael, after the Churban. And so what the Rambam is telling us is that once the Churban happened, Bizman Hazeh, when there's real Golos, when there's no more Beis HaMikdash, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei, the second is Beis Tishrei, but because we don't want to change the Takana, we don't just blow on the first day, we also blow on the second day. A little bit of a complicated, I didn't want to start that way, but I did want to start that way, but a little bit of a complicated understanding, but a beautiful understanding as to what the Rambam is telling us. What comes out is when the Rambam uses the word galus, what he really means is not the exile in terms of chutz la'aretz, he means the exile in terms of post-churban, in terms of no more Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Rambam needs to tell us we don't only blow the first day, but we also blow the shofar on the second day. But the question still begs itself, is if you look through the Yad, and I can't tell everyone here that I've been through the entire Yad HaChazakah, but I don't think you'll find anywhere else where he uses the term galus in reference to Churban. He'll say Churbana, and he'll say the term Churban HaBayis. Not only that, he uses the word galus when he references Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. When he references a typical second day of Yontif, in Hilchos Yontif Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, he uses the word galus to reference outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why here, by Hilchos Shofar, does he suddenly use this term? We know the Rambam was very specific with his words. But why does he use this term of galus to reference, at least the way Rav Shalty understands it, to reference the Churban HaBayis? Galus equals Churban. Okay, so that's the question. We're going to now switch gears to a new topic, I would say, a new discussion. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Adaf Tes Vav, tells us, Tes Zayin Amabez, I should say, tells us. I'm just going to read it from here. Amarav Krispadayim Rabbi Yochanan. Gimel Sfarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. There are three Sfarim, three books, that are open in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi actually says these books are in reference to, that are talking about, you know, the way people act. That God just writes down the Maisa Brios, what people are doing. So the Rishonim, the Aruch Lener, are bothered, like, why do we need three books for that? Just have one book, what everyone's doing. So obviously, the three books seem to be more judgment books, as the Brisa tells us. There are three books. Achas Shel Rishon Gemurim, Va'achas Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Va'achas Shel Beinonim. There's one book for the completely righteous, one book for the completely wicked, and one book for the Beinonim. What are Beinonim? In between. So Rashi says, Mechza al Mechza, 50-50. So the Acharon of the Pnei Yoshua is bothered by that. Another place, you know, if someone were to ask you, what's a Beinoni? You would answer like you guys just did. They're really righteous people, really wicked people, and anyone in between is a Beinoni. That's what you would think. That's where the Gemara, other places in Brachos and Samach Aleph discusses. Rava says he's a Beinoni. He's a Beinoni. Yeah, because he doesn't consider himself a Tzadik Gomer. He's not Mechza on Mechza. I'm happy to guarantee that Rava wasn't that. But anyways, for some reason, Rashi, one reason or another, Rashi uses the term half-half to refer to a Beinoni. 50, he's half, mitzvos half, averos. Okay. Anyways, again, what Rabbi Yochanan tells us, there are three books, one for Tzadikim Gemurim, one for Hashem Gemurim, completely righteous, completely wicked, and Beinonim. Tzadikim Gemurim, the really, really righteous people, Nechtavim V'Nechtamim Ma'alter L'chaim, are immediately on Rosh Hashanah, are written and sealed for life. Hashem Gemurim, Nechtavim V'Nechtamim Ma'alter L'misa, are immediately sealed for Misa. Beinonim, this in-between category, Tzuluyin V'Omdin, they're left out to dry. They're hanging. Their judgment is hanging. Mi Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippur. From Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, what we would call the Aseret Yimei Tshuva. Zachu nechtavim l'chaim. If they merit, meaning if they do tshuva properly, they're written l'chaim. V'im lo zachu nechtavim l'misa. And if they're not, then they're written for Misa. So Tosos on the Daf tell us that when we talk about what's written on Rosh Hashanah, let's say talking about the Tzadikim and the Rishon, that they're written and they're sealed l'chaim or l'misa, it can't possibly mean that literally. Why? Because every year we know of tremendous tzaddikim who die. So how can it be that if people who are big, big tzaddikim die? So a tzaddik gomer has to die at some point. So what? That year Rosh Hashanah, he wasn't nechtav v'nechtam l'chaim? So the way Tosfos explains is that what we're talking about when we talk about the three books that are open, the three books are talking about things that are written l'chaye olam haba. It's not this worldly matters, it's otherworldly matters. And on Rosh Hashanah, if you're completely righteous or completely wicked, you are written and sealed to go either to Olam Haba, to go to Gehenim. That's what this is talking about. And the Beinonim are in between. That's how Tosfos explain. Now, other Rishonim disagree. The Ran, the Rashba disagree here. But that's how Tosfos explain it. Wonderful. Every year in Rosh Hashanah, perhaps the most famous tefillah that we daven is Unisana Tokef. That's one of the things I would put my money on as one of the more famous tefillos. So part of the end of Unisana Tokef, what we write is Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, Uviyom Tzom Kippur Yikasemun. That on Rosh Hashanah we're in, on Yom Kippur we're sealed. So who's that in reference to? Who's written and who's sealed? Who are we talking about? So presumably we're talking about this in-between category, what we would call Beinonim. The Marsha here points out we're supposed to treat ourselves as Beinonim, that we're kind of Taloiva Omeid. But when you look at the Gemara, as I read before, the Gemara doesn't say Beinonim are written on Rosh Hashanah and unsealed on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says Beinonim are Taloiva Omeid until Yom Kippur. They're not written on Rosh Hashanah necessarily, right? The law shown that it was Taluyin Va'omdin Mir Rosh Hashanah Vad Yom Kippur, Zachu Nechtavin. If we marry, then it'll be written. But it never says that we're written on Rosh Hashanah, so we're back to square one. Who's written on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur? It seems like no one is, at least from this. So the Ramah writes in Or HaChaim, in Tav Kuf Pei Beis, in Sif Yotes, in Sif Tes, he brings down the minhag that where most of us are familiar with, that on Rosh Hashanah, we go around telling people, Shana Tova Techatev. That's what the Ramah writes, Techatev. The Magen Avraham there jumps and says, Visechatev. Right, not just be written, not just have a great year, be written for a good year, but also techatem, you should also be sealed for a good year, right? Which is what we do, ksiva v'chasim atova, right? And the Magen Avraham says not only do that, say, you know, all the other things, after chayim tovim, the shalom, everything, the whole paragraph that some people say. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But the Ramah says, just say techatem. So the Gra there explains the following. The Gra explains that what's going on, he puts all these makoros together, and says the following. The Gemara that we quoted before that tells us that there are three books that are open. One for the completely righteous, one for the completely wicked, and one for those Beinonim. And goes through that whole discussion. The Gemara says, behold like Tosfos. That's talking about Inyane Olam Haba. Inyane Olam Haba, that's true. But if you look at the daf before in Rosh Hashanah and daf Tazayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara very clearly says that man is judged by Rosh Hashanah, and his Gzar Din is on Yom Kippur. And that's everyone, says the Gra. Everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur. Why, what's the difference? And he explains. The Gemara on Tezayin Amud Beis, the three books, that's Olam Haba things. That's things that we deserve Olam Haba. That's, again, whether that's Gehenim, whether that's Gan Eden, etc. That's what that Gemara is talking about. The Gemara before is talking about Inyane Olam Hazeh. This worldly matters. The way we act in this world, what we get in this world, health, parnasa, etc., etc. In that case, the Gemara says, Adam nidom Rosh Hashanah, ugzardino biyom kippur. A person is judged on Rosh Hashanah and is sealed, the gzardin is in Yom Kippur. So there's a big distinction. One is otherworldly matters, one is this worldly matters. This worldly matters, everyone's the same, everyone's equal. Everyone's judged Rosh Hashanah and the din is on Yom Kippur. That's what Nisan HaTokev is telling us. Rasanatokov is telling us Biyom Tom Kip Rosh Hashanah Yichasevon, Biyom Tom Kippur Yichasevon, that's everyone. There's no one that does anything different. Yeah. Exactly, exactly. Good. That's right. So the Gra doesn't say that, but I think you're 100% right. Right. He's talking about this worldly mad, the things that happen in this world. Right. Although I totally agree that that's the continuation of the tefillah, are this worldly Olam Hazadik things. Now, it happens to be that even Olam Hazadik of things could be written, says the Gra, even. You can be written on Rosh Hashanah, and you can do tshuva and change that through the Aser HaSimei Tshuva, and that's why the Gzar Din is only on Yom Kippur. So even if something is judged and written on Rosh Hashanah, it can be changed throughout Aser HaSimei Tshuva through tshuva. That's why during Aser HaSimei Tshuva, we still use the phraseology of Kosfenu L'chaim Tovim. What do you mean, Kosfeini? We were already written in Rosh Hashanah. No, because the tshuva is supposed to change that. The tshuva is supposed to allow us to be rewritten, to be korea the gzar din, to rip up whatever we were going to have, and now have a new din for the upcoming year. And that's the general idea. The Gra ends off saying, therefore, if this is true, then really what we want is to make sure that the chasima only happens on Yom Kippur. Because we want to be able to, whatever was written on Rosh Hashanah, we want to be able to do more tshuva to get a better Gzar Din. So because of that, the Gra says, really, the Ramah is right, and you should really say, Shana Tova Techatev. You should say, Ksiva Tova, not Ksiva Chasima Tova. And the Gra says, because we don't want a Chasima Tova, we want the signing to happen on Yom Kippur, we want a person to be able to change that Gzar Din by doing tshuva, by continuously doing tshuva. So, what comes out of the Gra, which is very important, everyone's equal in terms of Olam Hazeh things. Everyone. In terms of Olam Haba things, there's a difference. Tzadikim Gemurim get a judgment on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Rishonim Gemurim get a judgment on the day of Rosh Hashanah. The Beinonim are kind of Taloi Vomed until throughout the Aseret Yimei Tshuva to see how they act. So the question we have is, the Gra makes sense, right? when we wish someone a ksiva chasima tova, why are we wishing them a chasima tova? We want it to be a ksiva tova. We want them to be able to do better, to do tshuva. So why does the Magen Avraham tell us you should also say techaseim, alter chaim tovim l'sha, all of that? Well, why do we want that? So the simple answer is, the Rambam writes in the third parak of tshuva, that this din that we just discussed in Tazayinam with Beis, that tzadikim gemurim are nechtav v'nechtam, are signed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah itself. So are Hashem gemurim. So what's possible to say is, for the Magen Avraham, the way we're supposed to see ourselves are as if we are beinonim. We're supposed to see ourselves as if we're not Rosh Hashanah gemurim, not tzadikim gemurim, neither. We're in between. And therefore, we can constantly do tshuva and constantly get better. We're not, our decision wasn't made already. And we have to constantly reinforce that within us so that we can do tshuva through the Yom HaDin and through the Azer Simei Tshuva. But perhaps the way we're supposed to look at other people is as if they are tzadikim gemurim. We're supposed to be machzik others. We're supposed to assume others are tzadikim gemurim. So when we wish a ksiva v'chasima tova, what we're really trying to say is, I may not be there, but I'm assuming you're a tzadik gemur. I wish you're a tzadik gemur. And perhaps that, being machzik tova that way, is kind of the favorable way to look at this idea of ksiva v'chasima tova, the way we, our minog is to say, again, not just to be written, but to be sealed and signed for a ksiva v'chasima tova. So now going back to our original question. So we had a question originally, 20 minutes ago. The Rambam wrote that we know there are two days of Yontif everywhere. But yet the Rambam wrote Bizman HaZeh, nowadays, where we are no way 2 days of Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, Begalus. In Galus, we blow shofar both the first and the second day. So we asked, what do you mean Begalus? It's also in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Jalti said, Begalus doesn't mean Chutz La'aretz. What Galus really means is when there's no Churban HaBayis. Galus means the opposite of Geula. Right? Galus means that there's no Churban HaBayis. God's Shechina isn't residing in his palace. That's really what Galus means. So we said, okay, so why is the Rambam suddenly writing Galus here in Hilchos Shofar when he's trying to describe the Churban HaBayis? So perhaps this is Mitzad Drush. But you can say the following. The Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, V'hayah b'yom ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, that it's going to be on that day, referring to the beginning of the Geula, they're going to blow on a big shofar, Uvoha Uvdim, Me'eretz Asher, Vanidacha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, all the people from all over the land are going to come back to Yushalayim, Yishachvel Hashem, Barakodesh, B'Yushalayim, and going to come and bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yushalayim. The shofar is the sign for that Haskalas HaGeula, the Kibbutz Galios. It's what we say in Tefillah every day, Tekab B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheir Seinu, to blow this big shofar for our chayers, for our freedom, to come back to Yerushalayim for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The shofar is that sign. So it could be what the Rambam is telling us. The reason why he has specifically Golos referring to the Churban in the Rambam and the shofar that we were discussing before is because what connects the Golos and the Geula, the Churban HaBayis, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, is the shofar. The shofar is what awakens us to do tshuva. The shofar, what we blow in Rosh Hashanah, is Uri Yishenim Yishenaschem, that we're supposed to wake up from our sleep, from our slumber. Chipsu v'maaseichem, chizru b'tshuva, v'zichru b'orachem, as the Rambam in the third paragraph of tshuva tells us. We're supposed to remember God. We're supposed to fix our ways. And so the blowing of the shofar is meant to awaken that within us, awaken that tshuva, to realize that we are in galus, to realize that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And that way it's supposed to inspire a tshuva within us, and the way it inspires a tshuva within us is two ways. Number one, personally, individually, to look at ourselves, to realize what we've done wrong, and to try to fix ourselves, to realize that we're a Beinoni, to realize that we're not a Tzadik Gamer. That's just practically, pragmatically, we need to do better. And when we can, the shofar is supposed to Uri Yishenim, to awaken that within us so that we do better. And at the very same time, while we look at ourselves as a Beinoni, we're supposed to look at everyone else, as we've spoken about time and time again over the last 2 weeks, to look at everyone else as they are Tzadikim Gemurim. When we have that Ahavas Chinam, as Rav Kook used to say, that Ahavas Chinam, that kavod for one another, That's meant to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And so Ur Yishenim Ishenoscham, we blow the shofar specifically on Rosh Hashanah, Begalus, at a time when the Churban is supposed to make us feel as if we are in Galus, because that's the only way to get out of the Galus to a Geula. And so the Rambam specifically uses this phrase of Galus to tell us that on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar to do tshuva, it's specifically the first and second days because we're in Galus, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And the only way to get the Beis HaMikdash, to get the Geula, to hear the shofar Gadol Yitaka, is to listen to the shofar now. It's to listen to the shofar and realize that it's not just that you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, but you're in Galus even in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Chizru b'tshuva, return in tshuva yourself. Treat others with avas finim. Treat them as tzadikim gemurim. Wish everyone a ksiva v'chasima tova while realizing yourself that you need to do better. And perhaps that's at least one reason why the Rambam chose this phraseology, this wording of galus, specifically by the shofar to reference the Churban. Because the shofar is a shofar that's supposed to help us in the galus to reach the ultimate shofar, the shofar Gadol Yitaka. So hopefully that gives us a little bit of a better understanding as to what we're meant to do on Rosh Hashanah. The tshuva that we're supposed to do, sometimes I see this often where Rosh Hashanah is a very serious day. It's a Yom HaDin. But it's not meant to be. It's also, there's a discussion. We didn't give a shiur on it this year. We spoke about it last year. There's also Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Right? It is a Yantif. It carries along with it Simcha's Yantif. So how do you deal with it, too? What do you mean? It's a Yom HaDin. How are you supposed to eat and drink and be merry? But the idea is there are two aspects. There's a Yom HaDin when you go into tefillah, you're supposed to feel yourself. You're a Beinoni. You need as much tefillah as possible. You should daven for as many people as possible, because you're only going to have a ksiva l'chaim. You're not that tzaddik gamer. But at the same time, when you leave shul, you're not supposed to be in that intense mood that you're not smiling at people. Right, it's meant to be a day where you look at other people and say, they're tzaddikim gemurim, to have that ahavas chinam, as we are saying, to have kavod for one another. Because only with those two ways can we get out of the galus and can we truly hear the tkab shofar gadol l'chayruseinu, the shofar gadol for our freedom. So I want to wish everyone a ksiva v'chasim atova. I assume everyone here are tzaddikim gemurim. I assume everyone here is going to have a ksiva and a chasim atova, at least for Nyanei Olam Haba. I wish everyone a ksiva chasima tova for Nyanei Olam Hazeh. And I do want to take the time for the people who are here, at least, to ask for a personal mechila for anything I might have done to cause any harm. I hope everyone can forgive me. I meant no harm in any of those situations if I did. So please, I wish everyone can forgive me. And we should all have a ksiva chasima tova, and we should be able to hear the shofar this year, and it should take us to the shofar next year, which should be in Yerushalayim with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mehera B'Yameinu.